afternoon, everyone, and welcome to What Women Want. I'm your host, Carol Ganser. And as promised this morning, if you heard the promo, we have an excellent show for you today, something I think that all of us will be able to take information from and use it. My first guest is Dr. Braun. Dr. Dina Braun is author of the book Reluctantly Related, Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. She's a licensed clinical psychotherapist who's been practicing psychology for more than 25 years. She's a speaker on the subject of mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationships and is nationally recognized for helping women who struggle in this relationship to get a place of comfort and ease with one another. Welcome, Dr. Braun.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, you've been doing this for 25 years. I hope it's not just been with in-law trouble for 25 years.
I've run the gamut.
Well, you know, I know what this is like because I had in-law problems. My mother-in-law, you know, I think everybody does. But anyway, she has since passed and that's gone. But I wish I would have had some of this knowledge because I think maybe it could have been a better relationship. And one of the things that we often think about is that you need both people in the relationship to work together to change things. Is that true or not true?
Actually, that is not true. It is something that we all seem to believe or we want to believe that you have to have both people willing to work on this. But it's not really true because one of the things that I've learned over the years of working with people is that it's really about changing someone's behavior. It's not really about trying to change their mind about something. The mind might come later, it might not, but the important thing is you want that person to behave differently around you. And so the best way to do it is just by changing your own behavior. And there is a philosophy out there and a theory out there that's been around in the psychotherapy world forever, which is if one person in a relationship changes their behavior, the other person must change their behavior as well because the old behavior won't work anymore. And so it makes it very simple for the one person to be able to change the relationship.
Well, I hear that and I understand it and have done that, did that with her. But for whatever reason, she knew how to snipe. And she would wait for an opportunity. We'd be getting along fine. All of a sudden, boom, it would come back in there again. So what do you do about something like that? I mean, if you're doing it and it appears that things have changed, but the other person is just clinging to that vindictiveness, I mean, is that something you can get them to eventually let go of?
You can, and part of it is perseverance. I mean, these are things, if you're going to change your behavior, you've got to do it consistently every single time. Because it's kind of like children, you know, if you're not consistent in your rule setting, they will figure out a way to bend the rules. Also, with someone like that who does the sniping or kind of catches you off guard because you're not ready for it,
right,
because that does happen, one of the best things you can do is use humor and just laugh and start laughing about it and kind of, you know, making it something very humorous, and that catches them off guard because they're not prepared for that. They're not prepared for you to take that lighthearted approach to something, and you're not being impacted the way they want. So they don't know what to do with that, and so that'll start to shift the behavior. But usually, it's baby step shifts, and so it takes a little time. So you have to be patient with it as well.
So do you find that most of the struggles in in-law relationships are between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law?
I do, and there's obvious reasons why. If you think about it, it's a very artificial relationship. I mean, you're only there because of one person, the man you married and her son. So that in itself makes it a difficult relationship because it's not something that you chose. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Is you didn't choose it, and you don't start off with being friends or trying to create that friendship. What ends up happening is you're forced together, and you try to create this relationship really quick, and you can't do that. You really have to go slowly in creating the relationship.
Well, I could see how, because it's the same kind of relationship, that there could be problems with the son-in-law as well. And maybe not so much because, you know, male-female, maybe there's a better vibration going there than female to female, especially if you've taken this woman's son away from her, if she views it that way.
Exactly. Women are in relationship very differently than a man and a woman. So, you know, even if it's, let's say, a son-in-law and his mother-in-law, let's look at that one for a moment. the male has a very different perspective of relationship, and their tendency is just to, they'll avoid you, you know. Whereas the daughter-in-law, I mean, there's a competition a little bit going on between the two of you because of this one man, you know.
Right.
And so that's what creates the problem right there, you know, is that there's, you know, you both want the same person. The roles have to change, and people aren't always willing to let the roles change.
Right. I guess it would depend upon, and I don't want to say the maturity, but I don't know how else to put
that.
Yeah, the person realizing that you the whole point of raising your child is to be able to set them free to live a good life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's what you're supposed to be doing. But as we know, there's complications in everything, and that's not always the way things work out.
Yeah.
Well,
and part of it is too, Carol, that if both people, and I'm talking the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law, if they're both comfortable in their own skin and their self-esteem is good and they feel about themselves, their relationship is going to go pretty smooth. But when, you know, there's a bit of, you know, uncertainty there or doubt or question or whatever, that's when it starts to get a little complicated.
In my situation, I can only talk about my own, okay? I can't talk about anybody's. But in my situation, it always seemed like no matter how nice I tried to be to my mother-in-law, I mean, she was a good person, don't get me wrong. She was the salt of the earth. You know, she's a World War II era person, lived through the Depression. And I think that brings its own baggage into a psyche. But no matter how nice I tried to be, let's say I got it. A new blouse, or I got something nice, new. And she would say to me, that's a nice shirt. And I'd look, I said, well, thank you very much. She goes, well, why can't you get one for me? And I said, well, to tell you the truth, Ma, I hadn't thought about that. But if you'd like to get one, I can take you up to the store and, you know, we can get one. And she would just look at me. You know, that's not the answer she wanted. But, I mean, it was like, I shouldn't have had anything nice. And I think part of it is, like you said, I think that was where she was coming from. She didn't feel good about herself and wasn't happy and didn't want to see other people. I don't think it was just me, you know, being happy. But that's a very hard thing to work around because you don't know how to deal with it sometimes or what's the best answer. But you just said it. If you laugh about it, I said, yeah, would you like me to take it off? And it wouldn't have fit her, so...
Exactly. And, you know, in my book, I talk about different types of mothers-in-law and different types of daughters-in-law. And, you know, she sounds like kind of the off-the-wall Wanda kind of mother-in-law. and there are certain things. Humor works great with an off-the-wall Wanda because, you know, they just say that some of the most outrageous things, and they have their reasons for saying it, and it can be all kinds of reasons. But one of them is they don't feel good about themselves.
Right.
And so, you know, using humor with someone like that is perfect.
Yeah, you're right. And she would have laughed, thinking about it in retrospect, had I thought about that. And a couple times when she asked me about why I had stuff, because that was always her answer. I said, here, I'll give it to you. Do you have a pair of pants I can put on? I'll take them off right now. And, you know, at that point, she'd start laughing. She'd go, no. And I said, well, I'll take you shopping if you want to go, you know. But... when you get people, this isn't anything to do with it, but when you have with what we're talking about, but you get people that want to be right and they play the right and wrong game, I can see how that would be a huge struggle with mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws because both of them think they're right. You know, everybody comes in with their own opinion. How do you deal with that?
Well, and this is great. This is for mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. It can be really for any relationship because it happens in a lot of different relationships, but it seems to happen a lot between women. Is that you're right. They do want to be right, and that means the other person has to be wrong, you know? And it just doesn't work. If you're going to fight there, you're going to get stuck. And so the thing you have to do, the real key here is if you can get the other person to feel like you really hear them, that you really hear their emotional pain. And if you think about yourself for a moment, when we feel like someone really hears us and really connects to our emotional pain, doesn't mean you agree with them or not. It just means you hear their pain. They really start to melt and they start to soften and they start to be more willing to hear what you have to say. And so the key to really breaking the stalemate is making sure that that person feels like you really hear them, that you really get their emotional pain.
So you validate them.
Start to soften.
You validate them. Basically.
Exactly. And again, you're not agreeing with them. You're not saying they're right. You're just really hearing them.
Doctor, I have to take a break right now. Are you able to stay with me for the next segment?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. We'll be back with you shortly. You're listening to What Women Want on the Talk of the Town, AM 1330 WELW. Welcome back, everyone, to What Women Want. If you're just joining us on the air with me today, I have Dr. Braun. Dr. Braun is a psychologist and the author of a book, Reluctantly Related Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. She's been in practice for 25 years, and I'll bet you she's heard a lot of these types of situations in these 25 years. Thanks for staying with us, Doc.
Oh, my pleasure.
So you had mentioned the Wanda type that my mother-in-law may, it sounds like. Are there other types? And if so, how do you deal with those?
Yeah, there are other types. There's two other types that would create a problem. Then there's one who's pretty okay, so, you know. And again, and they're the kind you want.
Yeah, you want to keep around that one.
Comfortable Carla. You want her. You know?
I love it.
You have off-the-wall Wanda, which I talked about before, and then you also have mothering Margaret, who has quite let go of her son, and she wants to not only mother her son, but she wants to mother her daughter-in-law as well. And, you know, part of dealing with someone like her is just, you know, helping her, you know where her place is and being able to set some boundaries with her in a nice, kind way. Because she wants to get along. She wants to be a part of the family. She just hasn't quite let go of the mother role yet, and she just needs a little bit of help. So she's kind of easy to deal with because you can set boundaries with her pretty easily and, as I say, do it in a kind way. Another one is uncertain Sarah, and she really struggles with not sure where she fits in the family, and so, you know, she's kind of like, she'll do all kinds of things. She'll give a lot of mixed messages because she's not sure how to be. So one minute she may be overly involved. The next minute she may be really aloof and distant. And so, you know, as a daughter-in-law, you don't know what to do with her. You know, so, and part of with her is to help her know where she fits. You know, just really, you take charge and you decide how she's going to fit into the family and really get to know her for who she is, and that will help her kind of settle down a little bit and relax and be able to go with the flow of things. So she wants to fit in too.
Sure, we all want to have a place. We don't want to be outcast from the family.
Sure.
Hopefully that's not what you want. But now you mentioned the mothering Margaret, and all I could think of when you were giving the description was the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, you picked it.
Yeah, I mean, she really does want the family, but she just is a mingler and interferer and wants to mother everybody and be in charge and in control. And that can be very, when I watch, I sit and laugh at that show because I know people like that, and it's just so real life, and it's unbelievable. Because I can see, I could see how marriages could crumble if something isn't done to get this in the order and everything checked the way it should be so that it can be a healthy relationship. You're talking about the mother-in-laws. Well, let's flip that. What about daughter-in-laws that are nasty or vindictive or want to try to keep the family away from the mother-in-law, that sort of thing? I mean, because that does happen as well.
It does happen. It does happen. And, you know, it's one of the most painful things for the mother-in-law is, I mean, one of her biggest fears is that she's going to lose her son and she's going to lose the grandkids and never be able to have contact. And it does happen.
All the time.
And it's one of the most frightening things because you feel so hopeless and so helpless to be able to deal with that kind of thing. And so part of it is trying to catch things before they get out of hand. You do have the daughters-in-law, like, Doubting Donna is one of them, and she really sees criticism and judgment in everything because she doubts herself so much. She's second-guessing herself all the time, and so if her mother-in-law says, you know, let me do this for you, all of a sudden it means she's not doing it right.
Right,
that's how she interprets it.
Because it's where she's coming from, the old movie
reels
she's playing over and over in her head from wherever she came from in her past.
Exactly. And one of the biggest issues for daughters-in-law that they really seem to struggle with is that it really affects their marriage because their husband, you know, that's his mom. And, you know, he's caught in the middle most of the time. And what happens is when there's problems with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, it affects the marriage then, and all of a sudden things start spilling over into the marriage. She starts fighting with him because of his mother, and then it becomes about money, and then it becomes about the kids, and then she stops respecting him. He stops respecting her, and it can end marriages.
So what do you do before you get to that point? When, let's say you're first married and this subtleness starts developing where, let's say, the daughter, your wife doesn't want to have anything to do with your family anymore, or she's reluctant, she's pulling away more and more. She doesn't want to go to family picnics. She doesn't want to go to family birthday parties. She doesn't want anything to do with your family. So obviously there's a pattern developing. Mm-hmm. How can you nip that in the bud before it escalates to the nightmare that you just described?
Well, it depends on who's doing it. You know, if you look at it from the mother-in-law standpoint, there's a few things you can do. And let's say it's gotten to the point where she's starting to avoid. The best thing to do is, and this is kind of a long process, but it can happen. One, you can do what I call the listening and learning. And that's not quite as long, but it's approaching your daughter-in-law. And really, you know, when I mentioned before about connecting with someone on an emotional level, the listening and learning skill really allows you to do that. Because what you do is you ask some really clarifying questions so that you can get really clear on what it is she's saying and help her recognize that you do hear her pain. But also, if it's worse than that, let's say, and she's not even going to talk to you at this point, I recommend that people start off with what I call writing appreciation letters. And this is not through email. This would be really handwritten because I think it's more personal.
Absolutely.
But start to write some appreciation letters about, you know, what you appreciate about this woman. I mean, and sometimes it's hard to find stuff because you're so upset.
Right.
But, you know, you got to start with, she loves your son. And that's, that's important to you. If she makes him happy, that should make you happy. And so you start with those things that you can tap into and let her know what you really do appreciate. And so, and it doesn't have to be a long letter, but you start these kinds of things. Then, you know, the fact that she's the mother of your grandkids and those kinds of things. And then, you know, other things that you appreciate about her as an individual. All right, because part of the problem in this relationship is that we only see the other person as his mother or his wife as opposed to them as an individual.
Right, you're right.
And we don't want to lose sight of that. They are an individual, and you want to develop that relationship with the individual.
Now, this can, if you think about it, and I'm sure you've seen this, not only can it impact the son's marriage, but it can impact the mother's marriage as well, if she's so upset that she's constantly badgering the husband about this issue and wanting him to take charge or wanting him to intercede or whatever. I can see how it could be a real nightmare for everybody involved. Do you ever do family counseling like that?
I have, but my real, what I try to focus on with the women is, this is between you and your in-law. Stop bringing other people into it. You know, I mean, it's okay if you want to talk to your spouse about it, but you really have to resolve the problem because it's your relationship.
Now, this is not anything to do with in-laws, but it's I don't know what you call it, but let's say step-parents and step-children. Mm-hmm. Are there the same kind of, I can see there's the same kind of dynamic flowing over with a stepmother with the daughters? That you could have that issue because now this isn't my mother anymore with this man who's my father. And, you know, things are very tough and you really have to have delicate gloves when you're dealing with these sorts of problems.
You do. And I think part of it is when we go into a relationship and into a marriage, whether it's a step family because it can happen there or, you know, in just a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, we don't even think about these relationships. We just kind of, all of a sudden, they're there. And I think if we really spent some time thinking about what we really want them to look like and how we can help them be that based, and you got to base it on the person you're dealing with here because, you know, if you're with an off-the-wall Wanda, you're not going to have a warm, fuzzy relationship because it just doesn't happen.
You're right.
But if you know who you're dealing with, then you can figure out what kind of relationship can I have with this person and then really focus on that and use your behavior to help create that. I think we just don't spend enough time really thinking ahead of how do I want to be in relationship with this person. whether it's a stepdaughter or whether it's a daughter-in-law or a mother-in-law, whatever, you know?
Well, I think a lot of times, like you mentioned before, what we are focused on is the right and wrong. I'm right, they're wrong, mm-hmm. they're not going to see my way, and we get so entrenched in that thinking that we need to take a step back, take your foot out of that situation, out of that circle, and see it for what it is, and try to work on the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, look at the bigger picture.
Right.
The bigger picture is, I want to be in relationship with you. How can I do that in spite of the differences?
Well, you know what? It's wonderful that you do these sorts of work, that you work with people like this, and that you've written this book. Doctor, the name of the book, again, is Reluctantly Related Secrets to Getting Along with Your Mother-in-Law or Daughter-in-Law. How can people get your book?
One way you can is just go to reluctantlyrelated.com. That would take you directly to my book, or you can get it on Amazon.
Okay, and where are you located, Doctor?
I am in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, you're not too far away from Cleveland,
no.
Ohio. Excellent. Well, I've sure enjoyed having you on the program today. I hope my listeners got some really important information there, because we all need to hear this sort of thing. Even if we know it, we need to hear it again, because we get so entrenched in our own problems in our daily lives that sometimes we forget that the other person has a life too, and we need to think about them. Like you said, it's not the mother or mother-in-law. That person is also an individual. And that's a good thing that we are reminded to think about that and to work on the relationship. Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with me. It was a pleasure having you.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We're going to take a break.